January 19th, 1992. Thank you for the pause, Commander.
You're going to find that unless you can turn the entire plan around, it is going to go right down the line exactly as they have laid it forth, right to the ending of Revelation. I'm telling you, right through that book. It was written to convince mankind that it had to be that way. I'm going to get a little out into the spiritual realm right now and discuss these things a little bit. You cannot come down into the middle of this time, in this cycle, on this place, and think tomorrow morning is going to be different. It will not be different. You are locked, manifested into a time continuum. You must experience this. And I'm not talking about God experience. I'm talking about you being manifested here. You're either going to get physically dead or you're going to be here tomorrow morning. And all the sitting and chanting and praying, etc., is not going to make it different tomorrow morning. And you have forgotten your creative power. So it takes a while. Even when you come into the knowing that you have it, you don't comprehend how to use it. So ones get tangled up over here in this one little teeny segment, this cell. Or this one over here, well, let's see, how do I manage my money so that, well, at least I don't lose? Some will make a bundle during this time of oppression. And we're trying to arrange it so that if you are willing to give a little now, you're going to get a lot back. Because if you're playing and you are utilizing their weapons, they have to cut their own throat before they can cut yours. Or at least the slash across their throat has to be bigger. So you have to stay alert and you have to play the game better than they, according to the laws they give you within which to operate. Only you keep very, very small and very unnoticed. For instance, you could go and refuse to have an inoculation. But the minute you gather 100,000 people to go up there and refuse to have it, you have called attention, you have given them trouble, and they're going to put you in jail. They're going to write new legislative laws. They're right in the process, I'll give you an example, right now in California, to close down the ability of a hypnotherapist to give weight loss and anti-smoking programs. That's the biggie. Number one, it's unconstitutional to do that. They have decided that it is harmful. And if you're not licensed by the state, somehow you know. It doesn't matter. They have the bigger gun. And what I'm urging as I'm writing this very day, we don't need any more patriots in prison. We need patriots outside working quietly within the laws to get this thing turned around. Now, at times, that may mean that you need to go stand on the corner in quiet protest. I'm not making blanket statements. As situations occur, you must study them very carefully. And then you have to know to reach your goal, you're going through a very difficult period of time. It is called tribulation. They have planned it for you, and they're going to make sure that you experience it. Don't blame God for that. You've allowed them to get this far in their plan, and they don't like you dinking around and making it difficult. They'll just take you out. Only they're finding that now that God's into it, it's a little harder to take out the leaders. That doesn't mean that if the leaders don't stay very close, they will be taken out. Just as sure as you're sitting here. When they plan to get rid of 6 billion people on this planet, it's going to be a holocaust, my friends. Think about it. Think about it. That is massive. And how would you go about it? And the farther we go here today, I tell you, we would send him back to Canada completely bewildered, and he would probably go grow in a hole, you know, just... Know that many of these journals were meant to alert ones like you. You're not going to be able to convince anybody of anything, but hold to the truth. Hold it. Because things are going to start happening so fast. It is just like the JFK movie. Don't think for one minute that ones who read the first book, Spacegate, aren't going to remember the segment on JFK. It's only through the confirmations unfolding now that ones will say, hey, what did you say about that? Let's look at that again. And so goes America, will go Canada. I can promise you that too. Because they're going to have to clamp an entire just lid on this continent. Just because you have a line drawn there between Canada and the United States, it's not even a very good line, doesn't mean that Canada wasn't just as chosen for the United States of America and God's chosen people as across the line in Minnesota or North Dakota.
Yes.
So what will happen is that the new and chosen world will rise up against them. And you will be astounded at how it will come to be. And that's not for me to say here. My point in the lesson at hand is accept that you cannot change it all. It will drive you mad. It will drive you mad. And as you get more and more into it, and quite frankly, as you read John's book, and you see that even that ADF, that Anti-Defamation League from Israel, remember that, everybody? It is a British intelligence operation. John, give this room. You see, these are shocking things. And long ago, when I said you're only going to find that you, after the War of 1812, went right back deliberately as fast as you could run to become a colony. And when the Queen visits here, she visits her colony, her property. Talk about the ADL, please, just a little bit.
Well, the Anti-Defamation League was definitely set up by British intelligence. MI6, that's the military intelligence branch of the British service. And the man they chose to run it was a fellow called Irwin Sewell, also goes by the name of John Graham. And he attended Balliol College in Oxford, where he was recruited by British intelligence agents. And he was sent to Tavistock Institute in Wilton Park, where he learned all the ropes. And then he was unleashed into the United States of America, ostensibly to oppose anybody who should dare to speak out against Jewish activities, control mechanisms put in by the Jews. But strictly speaking, that's only part of the thing. That's only part of it. The main function of the ADL is to gather names of all of people who are considered likely to be enemies of the coming New World Order. That is the primary function. If some of us get too hot and we start taking on the Jews too openly and too boldly, then they'll come after us as the ADL. But primarily the function of the ADL is to gather the names, locations, and where the people are who are going to be a nuisance to the coming New World Order, One World Government.
And we're on the list, yes.
Yeah, we're on that list.
Oh, I'm sure we're all high.
We are right at the top of Mr. Kissinger's list, and we probably have made the list of Her Majesty.
I'm sure we have. I'm certain we have.
So let us understand that we all know we're up there.
If we're not there.
And if you are alive this moment, there is a reason.
But you know, just to enlarge on that, Erwin Sowell not only did the ADL, but he is also on the very high board membership of the Institute for Policy Studies. And a number of the institutions like the RAND Research and Technology Corporation, he's a very high official in all of these bodies. So his object is not only to find out people like George Green, who's an anti-Semite from Berlin, but...
Well, until he became a Jew.
Right.
Jew too.
And the function is twofold. One, this is a powerful organization on its own, and I'm not plugging my book now, but in my book I give all the information that you really need to know about how these command structures operate and the various guises under which they are compartmentalized and how they report back to a central entity, the Committee of 300. For instance, you talked about Canada. Now, one of the biggest companies in Canada is called Trizac Holdings, which is supposedly run by the Bronfmans. That company is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Queen and by her cousin Angus Oglesby and by the Duke of Kent and on down the line. Hmm. Now, Bronfman's an ADL man, but he's plugged right into the royal family of England. We'll give you an idea of what the ADL does and how the ramifications of this organization.
You also have to remember, and we talked about this quite a lot at one time, and as the group grows, it doesn't change a lot, but we sometimes forget the old bits and pieces of the ladder, the steps. And there is so much information. I understand that you can't go out there and read 49 journals by this evening to get ready for John's book. And he is going to be able to now present this as a whole. We will be able to take some very, very strong information from the CIA and put it out there. And this is where you will get your impact and people will begin to hear. Is by the publicity, and then let's, for goodness sakes, protect these ones. And yet, if you want that information out there, you can't, I hear there may be a book. Publicity also is a protection. And the more that is revealed, the more the truth will protect you. It gets harder and harder to cover up the lies and to cover up the murders. You see, something will be uncovered simply by the fact that all of the witnesses in the reopening of the Kennedy situation somehow ended up dead before trial. You know, a lot of heart attacks were had that week. Heart attacks are the very thing to give. You can give someone a heart attack. You can do what they did with Bush. And by the way, you who think that Mr. Bush keeled over, heaved up his lunch, and got up, that is a press. He was out dead cold, for almost 10 minutes.
There's a new one on TV today.
I'd hear it.
I thought.
A new Bush.
Yeah, new Bush.
Oh, I thought you meant a new story.
No, new Bush.
Well, I can hardly wait to see him.
Yeah.
More freckles.
He got more freckles, and he's really up and been bigger. He really does.
Well, you know how the flu affects you. Well, you don't, because you had a different kind of flu, and you...
He died.
That one was not spelled F-L-U, it was spelled E-L-F.
Well, it certainly was, and you notice he had to have a weekend at Camp David to just get himself together. Oh, you have a lot of interest. Oh, it's intriguing. Wait until you get to God and have some real intrigue. I heard John moan over here, groan over here. Well, what's his purpose? Why is he still alive? We're going to let John just keep guessing. But I did hear John say to a friend in here, we've got to get on with that free energy. And I, in that instance, I don't want any of you pushing around such rivers. It isn't missing. That free energy that Tesla had isn't missing. You just don't have it. And the minute you have it before there is protection for it, you're just dead. They have it. My God, do they have it. And in that same vein, do you have today's writing?
Yes.
I would have you read what we have written about the Stanford situation. It's easier than me just splurting it out. Ed Young wrote and mentioned this explosion, and these ones hadn't heard about any explosion. And I think that, and it was time, because Dorma keeps questioning me about some of these things. So it was certainly time that I took that into consideration since the letter was circulating. I want to tell you, the explosion was very interesting. And it acted very, very much along the same lines of the vibration frequency box that Tesla had that he could put to a pole in this building. And so it vibrated. But out here on the outskirts, it was shaking the city to pieces. Now, the explosion that happened at the Research Institute killed a man, yes. But there were other ones in that room. But the explosion itself was felt more strongly in the outskirts of the city than it was in that room. And what instigated the explosion was in something no bigger than a little medicine bottle, a cough syrup bottle. So I think that I would like for you to read that to the room.
All right. Instead of dealing with... Excuse me just a second. Instead of dealing with today's garbage, let me respond to inquiries about what I wrote a couple of days past. I thanked Ed Young for input and circulated his letter. The letter spoke of an explosion and it spoke a bit, in addition to the Stanford Research Institution, SRI for you who wondered. The strange thing is that almost none of you knew about any explosion, and or if you had heard, you certainly learned nothing about it prior to its burial in the vaults of silence. It is important. Stanford Research Institute and cold fusion. At about 11:15 in the morning of January the 2nd, an explosion at Stanford Research Institute International in California killed one experimenter and injured three others. These were members of a top team who were conducting a series of experiments on cold fusion. The force of the explosion was such that not only did it blow out windows in the laboratory where it occurred, but the concussion was felt in office doors away. So far, there is no explanation of what went wrong. Prior to the explosion, there were no indications that anything was amiss. Strange thing is that the blast vibration waves picked up significant intensity as they moved outward, and the explosion was heard, felt more strongly than at the epicenter in outlying areas. When the so-called accident occurred, Dr. Andrew Riley, who was killed instantly, was moving from the calorimeter, a canister used in the experiment. Its dimensions were approximately 6 inches in height with a 2-inch radius. Anyone nervous? This is about the size of a cough syrup bottle. No radiation was reported, which tells you a lot in itself. A team of experimenters had been conducting a series of experiments intended ultimately to prove the feasibility of generating electrical power using cold fusion cells. The research was contracted by the Electric Power Research Institute, EPRI, of which Ed spoke. EPRI is a California-based research consortium which is in the main supported by U.S. Electric Utilities. Now you must be beginning to get some interesting questions stirring. Studies on palladium. All the notes stated that these gentlemen were studying and researching for better understanding of electrolytic experiments involving palladium as the host metal for deuterium. Now, dear ones, deuterium is the base element utilized in heavy water. By any other label, as with a rose by any other name, this is the cold fusion, outrageous, unworkable, nonsensical, and stupid approach of Pons and Fleischmann in the Utah Ridiculous Presentations category, pronounced by great and learned scientists. Funny thing, other nations, even Egypt, is making the stuff work and produce electricity. So you now have a basis for more understanding of the godly elite clampdown on your information flow. And what is an electric company which deals with wires, pumps, generators, alternative energy, i.e. wind and solar, doing playing with an unworkable and stupid idea? Heavy water. I'm going to take just a minute here to speak of this heavy water and a bit about this cold fusion for most of you who are probably confused, and you will need this information later as Tesla gets more into our work. The experiments involve electrolysis using heavy water, that is D2O, that's D sub little 2 O.
Somebody needs to teach her how to use the computer.
It's H2O, H3O.
It's
D.
Deuterium.
Al can always find those symbols. But you see, when you have a little drop 2 or a little raised 2, it means something different, and we have no way to write it.
I'll show you.
Rather than H2O, the hydrogen isotope, deuterium, is separated from the oxygen and absorbed into the palladium cathode. Fusion occurs when the nuclei of the two elements fuse to form either a heavier isotope or an entirely new isotope. I might suggest further that to fully isolate the substances involved, ones will have to move into the Russell charts or forever play in the limits of what is formally recognized. In the case of Fleischmann-Pons, two deuterium nuclei are thought to fuse, creating either the heavier isotope tritium or the element helium. However, in the words of Fleischmann, the unique feature of his experiment is the occurrence of heat far in excess of what can be accounted for by traditional physics theory. Important side view. I am certainly not herein going to give you the facts involved here because you are already on a deadly course and I refuse to contribute to the foray. However, know that in the sensor satellites, which were to be set to monitor first strike detonations, the sensors would penetrate and immediately pick up several things, among which is helium. I suggest that the studies at SRI have nothing to do with your morning electric supply to perk your coffee. What is told? The claim is that SRI had been experimenting using closed cells which function at relatively high pressures. In this instance, the experiment was a more conventional character. However, there is always the danger when working with hydrogen or deuterium and oxygen that they will recombine, releasing energy. Under high pressures, such recombination can be explosive. But how explosive if only heat was being measured in a calorimeter. That, dear ones, is a heat monitor for measuring heat per calorie, simplified. But two, if you are simply combining things as in the Pons-Fleischmann manner, an open wash basin, why would it be under pressure? Why would one even remotely be expecting any kind of explosion to even speak of to the media? Believe me, they had to go a long, long way to bury this one. Now some clues. Research at SRI was being funded by EPRI to the tune of $2 million, which would give some indication of the seriousness with which they regarded the Fleischmann Pond cold fusion experiment, after totally denouncing and thoroughly discrediting the original scientists. Moreover, wait until you find out how much black budget money is being poured into SRI for that project. More interesting as to the people involved, considering the discrediting of the media and scientific community, Andrew Riley had been project manager of the engineering group at the National Cold Fusion Institute in Utah. He was only 34 years old and had already shown much talent as an expert in the field of electrochemistry. I asked GM to get in touch with Ponzander or Fleischmann a couple of years ago. When are you ones going to recognize that I know what I'm doing? How can God give you the answers to the puzzles if you won't look? While you ones go off in search of the pot of gold, you invariably miss it there under your nose. No, I will not tell you everything, or you'll end up exactly dead just like Dr. Riley. It is time to use your minds and give up Fantasia Land. So be it. Let us get on with our work. And no, there is nothing irrelevant.
Nothing irrelevant and nothing isolated. Everything is related. Absolutely and totally related. And you'll be happy to note that the moment we started writing the first name to come onto the scene related to the CIA document that we're doing is Henry Kissinger. Everything is related. And until you know the players, you cannot hope to even begin to play in the game. This is what they don't want you to have access to. It's too late. So all they can do now is make their efforts to continue to cover and make sound ridiculous while they start bumping off the societies, the people. I remind you, the project in Australia is finished. It was finished a little bit ahead of time. I said when the runways are gone so that they can get heavy equipment in there by major carriers, you better get nervous. And the jungle's back to looking like a jungle. You get in there now by helicopter. You can still take a lot of heavy equipment in there by helicopter. You have hovercraft that you've never been exposed to. So your enemy is getting ready for a massive and very large war. Keeping in mind they'd rather do it the other way because they don't really have the cleanup facilities. And they'd really prefer not to have an underground society into the forever future. But when the Bible speaks of binding the devil or Satan or whatever you want to call this negative evilness, that's exactly what's being talked about. Going into the pit, being bounded into the pit, there will not be the ability to live on the top of the earth, on the surface of the earth, if it continues as it is going for a long, long time. So the generations to come would have to live under the ground. And at some point, they're going to run out of supplies. And it's going to get very, very difficult on you ones that they have kept around to service their needs. Ones choosing that avenue will be left to that avenue. So having a ticket to Australia underground may sound pretty good to, let us say, a state governor or senator. And it might be okay for him, but out there it's sure going to produce a great big hot foot. Because what they have in mind results in the inability of life forms to survive on the surface for a long, long time, if forever. And if it gets out of control, which it will, because they always overplay, you will create a planet that cannot sustain life form, period. So when one's wonder, like Bernard must, what am I doing in Canada? Why does this bother me so much and no one else seems to be paying attention? Why would there be Lester in New Zealand? Why would there be the ones in Australia? Why in South Africa? Because you are a part of the remnant. It's important for the species and for the guidance of those ones who come into and actually are the children of God, and they've lost their way. And they'll be very happy to follow back to God, come right back with you when it becomes clear to them where they need to be and what they must do. And all you have to do is know that there will be that time of service. And when that comes, you will know what to do. That you cannot thrust this information down their throats. Remember the horse. You can pour it all over his head. And unless you stick that funnel clear to his stomach, you're not going to get that water in there. He will not swallow it. You don't have to go that far. God does not force nor curse. The parables will make themselves clear. And as it unfolds, these ones will be coming, searching for you. Well, what do I do now? I'm sorry I didn't listen. And this is why you may seem very isolated. Well, why me? Because you agreed. And you will be ready when the time is at hand. Know it. Because if you cannot take it, you will get out of it. And many do. And I pity them. I pity them. Because they will not be fulfilled. They will continue to hang on to other things. And very well may be lost totally to this cycle. To whatever is happening to the masses of the physical beings. You must understand that large, incredibly large numbers, just as the plan outlined, are soulless beings experiencing here, and that's all there is to it. They're here to fool you as much as any other thing set forth for your observation. And they do fool you, because if 134 people are in one step and you are in a different step and you are marching, can the other 134 be wrong? Absolutely. Somewhere between 4 and 4.5 billion can be wrong at any given step. You are not given to know who. That's not your problem. You're going to have to treat each robotoid as if it were real, because you're not going to know.
Someone asked me, excuse me, Commander, if a robotoid knows it's a robotoid, because she was concerned if she was one. How do you know if you are one or not? Do they know? I said, I don't think they know. That was my answer.
Not necessarily. if you are in a group where truth is beginning to sound reasonable to you, you're very likely not. And robotoids can be salvaged. Don't misunderstand. We're talking about DNA replications. And usually these are from cellular structures, and you're going to have access to Akashic records. A lot of downloading goes in to even a most primitive robot or replica. They're not exactly robots. We call them robotic beings because they function according to their controlling masters and their programming. But anytime you have duplications, you are taking a DNA molecule and you are assimilating something. You're coalescing something. And if you have functioning beings with thought processes going on enough to go and look, you see, most of the masses don't look. I'm sorry, most of the masses do not look. And they will shoot each other on the streets of the ghettos. They're not thinking. They have no direction. They are purposeless. The biggest thing on Friday night is who's wearing a red jacket versus a blue one. That's all they've been taught. Because in a few generations, you see these recreated beings will finally produce something that is totally without soul. And yet you're not going to be able to tell the difference. And a Sister Teresa may be able to go in and work with a few of those ones. Don't misunderstand why they target some particular categories of people. They were put there so they could be wiped out. You are working with a very sophisticated planner. The best. The king.
Question.
Please.
So if a replica, a soulless being, what is the scenario if they marry each other or another being who is soul? Are their offspring necessarily soul or not? And then by the third generation?
It will finally breed itself out, depending on the training. You see, if the flicker, every time you have the human being created, there is the possibility of soul. That doesn't mean there necessarily is one. That is the breath of life breathed into the being through the grace of God. And sometimes the facts are that usually you will have mating between ones of a like mind. This is why you have so many thoughtless beings. They just see each other, they go hop in the sack, and now we have a child. And if it's not aborted, you produce it. And if both of those beings are totally without any kind of godness or understanding or goal, orientation, you see, most of them are not even oriented toward evil. You can handle one oriented totally toward evil. Because he's bright. But you are working with masses of humanity that are not particularly bright. They don't care to be. And this is why the whole thrust to get in touch with your and control of your education, your religious groups, and then the rest just swarm like a flight of bees. And everybody will go out with their flag and their yellow ribbon in the other hand. Does it mean these people are evil? Absolutely not. Neither does it mean they're godly. They are just there. And that is just what is. And so to say, well, I don't understand, and why can't we just forget it? You are being distracted. You change the cause. Locate the cause. Remember cause and effect. Locate the cause. Then you can recreate the effect. And you're going to have to just swallow it. Because regardless of what you do, you cannot do it in time to stop the mass killing off of these billions of just mass of humanity. And in that mass, you're going to get some good ones. And you're going to get a lot of do-gooders who are going to save and go in on a savior basis. Nobody is going to save you. And you can kill another billion people just like you did the Master Crystals in the physical form, and it won't do a thing for you except rest heavier on the soul you have. You're going to have to do this. And I stood there before the council and I said, you can do it. And they said, all right, hats on, get down there and show us. And I said, oh, what have I done? And then I said, George, and then I said, John, and then I said, Dharma, get your pencil. I've done it again. You're blessed. I'm not going to. This person who wrote, Rick will verify this, because Sananda responded and Rick was a little distressed about this letter. This is from this channel in Sedona. And this one suggested that Sananda shouldn't be so self-centered. Oh my goodness. And then certainly Hatton needs to have a lot more humility. Why should I have more humility? Do you want to win this war, or do you want Hatton to grovel? I don't buy into that. And I don't want you to. And Sananda had a very good response. And then he had more yesterday. Except by me, he says, will you come into the house of God. Well, he speaks with authority, because you see, now you're dealing with an entity and not an idea. And this is the bearer of the Christness, the way sure, and the word. You're not going to bring the unbalanced mess from your planet anywhere out into the cosmos, into places of balanced, harmonious existence. Now, that's all there is to it. And at that point, I have to take my Aton hat and say, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. It's my choice, not yours. And you have right to all of your opinions. I will hear absolutely all of your opinions. But when it's all done, it's not going to be your opinion that gets you on any one of those crafts. It's whether or not you are worthy to come aboard that craft. And that is going to rest with the ones on the craft. And if it's my craft, it rests with me. And you can be mouthing your opinions all the way till we're out of sight. But that's the way it is.
Question?
Yes.
My impression from what you're saying is that unbalanced ones will not be allowed on the craft, and yet I feel unbalanced most of the time.
No, you misunderstand.
Okay.
I'm talking about all ones from an unbalanced place that you have created into this kind of unbalance. And I'm talking about an entire system. the human being is gifted, projected to be human, to make choices in every given, every moment of your life. You choose whether to breathe or not to breathe. Now, you may not consciously know that, but that's what has happened. And when you die, you have chosen that the heart will not beat again and you will not breathe again. Because at that point, soul sits there and watches you make that decision. Maybe even helps you, depending. And therefore, you're always going to feel unbalanced. It is the unbalance that causes you to regain a desire for balance. And this will always be present until once again you are in this period, one with God, in the voidance. Which is total balance.
Excuse me, Commander.
Yes, I'm to an important part. I understand.